Phil Jubes is sitting in for Keith Finnegan, who is now frolicking around a field, making friends. Today is Thursday. It's the Thursday here of me sitting in for Keith on Galway Bay FM. And I'll be with you through till Friday. I'm just here for the hour, and we have chit-chat and banter with guests of Vodafone Comedy Carnival Galway, and today we shall be in the company of Mr. Andrew Maxwell, Glenn Moore, Gráinne Maguire, but as ever, the stalwart organiser of the festival, Kevin Healy, he floats around like a delightful cloud of good humour from venue to venue. He's with me this morning. Hey, highlights of today, Kevin Healy. What are the big things happening today at the festival?
Day 8, Phil, can you believe
day
it?
Day 8!
Day 8!
I can't, but you were just saying in the car a moment ago, Kevin, how the time flies, and as ever, it was lovely for me to be in the car with Kevin when he said his stand, and I've been with him nearly every time he said this, every year. I'm not doing this again.
And
he just said, I'm not doing it every... And you had possibly my favourite ever idea, which is to do all of the acts in one 24-hour day.
That's what I think we should do, yeah. One day, 24 hours, let's just get everyone up on stage twice. It would make life a lot easier for everybody,
wouldn't it though? A couple of belters today.
Yeah, we've got some great shows coming
up. What have we got going on today?
Well, first of all, Reg Hunter is in the Spiegel tent tonight at 9:30.
Very nice.
Andrew Maxwell will be in the Spiegel tent at 7 o'clock.
Lordy.
David Baddiel comes to the Town Hall Theatre.
When you see those two words together, it's easy to say Daniel.
It is indeed. Well, I was looking at Daniel Sloss as well and thinking, what a lovely boy that is.
Yeah. But David Baddiel, extraordinary, you know. And lest we forget, the first stand-up comedian, himself and Rob Newman, the first stand-up comedians ever to do an arena gig. So, big news. David went away from stand-up for years. He's been producing films. He's been an author. Of course, he's a children's author now. But his stand-up, it's a brilliant overview of a seasoned sort of one of the guys that sort of has been in stand-up for 30 years and his perspectives on it are genuinely, and he's the show's about fame as well.
It is, yeah. Fame, not the musical, it's called.
Indeed. It's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant show. And what else have we got going on in the Town Hall Theatre?
Arthur Smith plays tonight.
This is the favourite show that I've seen at Edinburgh in the last 10 years.
Yeah,
Arthur Smith
sings
Leonard Cohen. Absolutely. I mean, moving, beautiful. It's a song. It's a show, basically, there's a lot of comedy in it. It's about his mum, his relationship with his mum.
Yeah, beautiful. And I think Leonard Cohen fans might be afraid that it's going to be a joke.
It's
but
not.
It's not.
It really isn't.
It's very reverential.
It's about, and if you are a Leonard Cohen fan and you're out there, and I know, because Leonard, I think he played in Ireland before he played the UK. He comes back to, he plays Ireland more than he plays England.
And
I know you Cohen fans are out there, you have to see this show if you're a Leonard Cohen fan. It's absolutely beautiful, and it will resonate with you.
Also on today. Eleanor Tiernan's National Therapy Project.
I shall be discussing that very shortly, and my incident that I had with it. Which is another great show. And I'll also be talking about me. I'm going to be DJing tonight at the Rosie and Dove at 11 o'clock. I've got two gigs today, both at 11 o'clock. Thanks for that, Kevin.
How did I do
that's
that?
Organisation. Nice work. In a moment, we're going to talk to Andrew Maxwell. But meanwhile, here we're going to have a record and then some ad breaks. And this record is dedicated to Andrew Maxwell. It's called All Nighter. Yeah, we're back, Phil Jupiter's here on Galway Bay FM as part of the Vodafone Comedy Carnival Galway. Boom! And don't forget that you can listen back to these shows by downloading the podcast for free from the iTunes store. Simply search for Vodafone Comedy Carnival. Alternatively, you can watch video highlights of each show. And today's video highlight... Es muy caliente. You can log on to it at the festival website, VodafoneComedyCarnival.com. Joining myself and der Uber Gruppenführer Kevin Healy is young Andrew Maxwell.
It's wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to be here.
How are you doing, sir? You look like a sack of crap.
Thank you. I feel like I've been hit in the face by the Atlantic Ocean,
which is, and it's a breezy night, but you're here, and that's the key thing. That's the key thing, Max. How did your gig go last night? As you know, me as a professional, I went back to the hotel and had a damn good night's sleep. I was in the sack at 10.
Well, that's how I feel about it as well.
A little bit of Netflix,
yeah,
and then off to sleep.
Yeah, well, it's all about preparation. You know what I mean?
You live the dream, Andrew Maxwell. You live the, or should I say nightmare?
Well, on the West Coast, they do. When you're out in the West, you know? Just generally making small talk to the wee small hours.
Yes, you were. Yes, you
on
were.
On a Wednesday.
I know, I mean,
there's very few places that you can do that.
Yeah, as, I mean, and you are a father to inspire us all that would do that sort of thing on a Wednesday, my friend, go out like
now,
that.
There was a former Justice Minister, I was listening to you talking about Leonard Cohen before.
Yes, that's right.
Our former Justice Minister, Dermot Ahern, massive Leonard Cohen fan.
Really?
Yeah. Man that was in charge of locking up junkies.
Yeah.
Was a massive fan of Leonard Cohen.
Here's the thing, is your artists, and you are a living, breathing exemplar of that this morning. Your artists are supposed to be vagabonds, are supposed to be troubled.
They should have their stuff in a knapsack.
You would look great with a bindle. Can I just say, if you actually arrived in Galway on foot...
Stick... Have a sack.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, yeah. And wouldn't it be great if you developed like the rambling folk in the UK? They've got chalk signs they would leave outside the houses to give whether the people inside are friendly, whether they give you a drink.
Exactly. Well,
I used to know all of the tramp chalk codes that you could leave on a gatepost.
Who's this guy? What are we going to get it from?
See, your brother wanderers. Would you make a good hobo, Andrew Maxwell?
I'd make a terrible hobo, because I like having a regular sleep. I'm more of a house cat than a hobo.
But no, you see, here's the thing.
I like to have a regular sleep.
I had
a cheese from a tramp once. It was a shepherd in the mountains of northern Portugal.
Yeah.
And he got his knapsack out.
Yeah.
Do you want some cheese? Obviously in Portuguese.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was so enamoured by the whole, you know, rustic setting of the situation. Yes, of course I'll try some of your cheese. Phil, it was the worst thing I've ever tasted. Honestly, nothing's gone into my mouth worse than that. Like, just horrific. Instantly my mouth died. Like, even now, like, I can still taste it in my mouth. It was horrific. Things are not as good as normality.
There's a very, apropos of that, the sort of the getting into that situation, when you're somewhere really authentic and you think, oh, I'll do what they do. Andy Smart was travelling in Greece when he was a young man, and he miscalculated the bus. He was in the middle of nowhere. It was starting to get cold at night, and then he found there was this farmhouse, and there was some people, an old bloke outside, and Andy was like, you know, how do I, in very patchy Pigeon Greek, manage to, and the bloke said, there's no buses now, you're going to have to stay there, you can stay with us, you know, and the bloke sort of said, if you do help me with a job in the morning, you know, you can stay, and yeah, of course, I'd love to help you, sir. And so he stayed with his family, and this old Greek farmer gave him ouzo all night. Andy drank about a pint of very strong homemade ouzo.
He has a double white kidney.
He's
on
a big lad,
well.
and he keels out at night, goes to sleep, goes to spark out. He's woken up at 4 o'clock after about an hour and a half's kip by the bloke shaking him, saying, "It's time for work. It's time for work." And then they went out.
Sound familiar?
They went out to the barn, whereupon the bloke started slitting baby goats' throats with his knife and then skinning them. And that was the job that Andy,
Have you ever eaten kid?
Let me just answer that with a question. What are you talking about?
Kids, like baby goat, like the equivalent of lamb, goats.
I haven't.
Oh, Lord. Rusty, my kid's Portuguese granddad, he took me to this place just in a village. Everything's about in a village in Portugal. We went to this one village. He knew this dude. They were on firm handshake levels, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, that sort of, ha ha ha, looking into each other's eyes and laughing while shaking hands. Went to this place. It was basically a dude's living room, but he'd been apparently his trick was he'd massage the kids before he killed them. But anyway, it was delicious. It was, oh Lord, it was like lamb, only lamb plus.
Your powers of honestly, you sir, have just put Yeats to shame.
He uses words.
Poetry.
He uses his words as his weapons.
It was like lamb, but lamb plus. I'm having that. I dare say, there's many a taverner across Ireland will be writing that one down right now. Ooh, right, it's like lamb,
but, you know, lamb,
but
is,
lamb plus.
Write it in chalk.
The most delicious of meats.
Lamb. Well, it's because of the fat. And I speak as a man that knows his fat.
Puppy fat. Lamb fat. Oh, it's so good.
So delicious.
But go, you know, kids, have you ever had a kid on your lap?
We're talking about a kid goat. No, I have not.
Yeah, exactly,
I have not.
As in the gloves. The baby, goat, yeah? Have you ever had one?
No, I haven't.
Gamble around on
no,
your lap?
No. Do they frolic?
Oh, so lovely.
Tiny
little hooves.
Look at you.
Tiny
they frolic, they're lovely, and then he eats them. What do you like? You're all over the shop this morning. Hey, joining us now, it is a joy, an undiluted joy to welcome Mr. Glenn Wall to the hexagonal table of...
Hello.
How are you, my friend?
I'm wonderful. I'm in Galway, so how could I be anything other than beautiful?
Is this Glenn, is your year, is this one of the shining gems in the tiara that is the Glenn Wall year?
Yes, very much so. I get to come back and see Kevin and see how he's attempting to kill me this year.
It's interesting, really, isn't it, that he is some kind of de facto comedian assassin?
Yeah. Oh, he tries. He tries, but he's never got me. It's like spy versus spy, but with booze.
Oh, my word. And Maxwell is still at the table, for those of you that are wondering what that wheezing is.
Hey, I'm ready. I'm here. Any time conversation comes my way, I'm ready to get involved.
He looks like he's going to remember this part, so that's new. He's finally got full consciousness.
Maxwell was
so
talking earlier about
fully awake
about the fact. Eyes to me, chaps. Eyes to me. You were going to discuss Halloween. Now we're approaching that. It's a key time. Is Halloween a big deal in Canada? Glenn.
Yeah.
But it's one of the big holiday. You never know, really, because Halloween in the UK has kind of started spiraling on from. We've adopted the American template. The trick-or-treating started.
Well, that's what I learned.
We never used to.
This is what I learned. I made a show for Radio 4 Extra about the history of Halloween,
yes,
which will go out on Halloween night.
Very nice.
Originally, we all got involved with Halloween on these two islands. We were all into it. And then the Reformation happened.
Mm.
And it was originally about praying for the souls of your departed.
Yeah.
That had gone to the waiting room of the afterlife. But Protestants don't have the waiting room for the afterlife.
Yeah.
You either go in there or you don't go in there.
Right.
So that all died off, except so Halloween carried on in Catholic Ireland.
Yeah.
Or Catholic Highlands of Scotland.
Yeah.
So that was it, except for weird little pockets around England that still survives. There's Punky Night in a couple of villages in Somerset.
Mm.
There's Soling.
Yeah.
With, again, it's going around houses with the cake in Cheshire and North Wales. And there's guising,
mm-hmm,
where you dress up, you know, in masks and whatnot in the moors above Sheffield.
Good green.
This is like the shipping report of Halloween.
Yeah.
What I love about Maxwell is that he's going to invest into anything. He's going to go unbelievably deep, which is what's good. So this is ostensibly like this is a Western European equivalent of Dia de los Muertos.
All Northern Europe originally was all Northern Europe, and it is the seasonal change from autumn into winter. You know, you didn't know whether you were going to live or die.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of us divining, you know.
Is it around a similar time of the year to the Day of the Dead in Mexico?
I don't know when that is.
There you go. There's the window in your Halloween thing.
May be springtime, because May and October are the same.
That's Cinco de Mayo. That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid, I lived in the Yukon.
Ah.
And... you know that trend for women, it's not so much now, they've kind of righted the ship, but where it was every costume had to be sexy, you know,
yes,
and it's a horrible thing. Women should just, mm-hmm, women shouldn't feel the pressure to do that. But in the Yukon, it was the same with everybody, but it was cold weather wear.
Mm.
You know, because you really couldn't go trick-or-treating in the Yukon in late October. So it was always, well, what would a snowmobiler dress up as this year? Put a little crown on. He's a snowmobiling king.
Once again, you're at Halloween in the Yukon. It's 900 sexy Eskimos.
Halloween in the Yukon.
Inuit.
First memoir.
Inuit.
Yeah.
Don't say that. I know the chance to offend is probably very low right now in the Galway. But
I would imagine.
My brother married a Chippewan woman this year in the Northwest Territories. So he's now impregnated that woman. And so I'm very oversensitive, possibly.
Good Lord. And let's if we may. Was it an Inuit ceremony?
It was half half.
What's an Inuit wedding like? When's the next time?
Well, they're not Inuit. Chipewyans are natives or First Nations, but there is a difference between the people that lived far north and then the people that sort of migrated back and forth. And Chipewyan is the more southern.
What's their game though? What happens in one of their ceremonies?
It was like a Christian sort of ceremony with a pastor. I don't know if she was ordained, but it was very wedding-y. And then her mother got up and did a sort of Sundance kind of thing, and then yelped to the sky. It was cool.
Oh man.
Yeah, it was great. And in a strike against racism, the drunkest guy at the wedding was a white guy from Alberta. So God bless him.
Yay.
Good.
It's because somebody
has to do it.
That's right.
My grandfather was Russian, and he had a Russian Orthodox funeral, and that was, I just like going to alternate versions of things that you used to go into. Russian Orthodox funerals are long. There's a lot of chanting. A lot of singing, and it's way mournful. Wow.
Our Christian brethren from the East, they love a bit of smells and bells.
Mm.
It's all about this, you know. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of incense.
Yeah.
On my Estonian side, I was going through old pictures, and there was a funeral photo. It's like the same way you'd have a wedding photo, but there was just like an old black and white with a dead guy, and then everyone leaning in with a somber look on their face.
That is which is very odd. This is my father, my dad, of course. He was taking pictures at granddad's funeral. My dad is the only member of our family I know that does that. He gets the camera out at the funerals.
Eastern European side.
Yeah, I think
I think that's when they're at their happiest.
In fact, one time I remember being in a cortege behind. I was in the limo behind him, and he actually leant out of the window of his and took pictures of the hearse as it was in front of him driving along. It was, he's a bleeping
wonderful man. That's a stylish shot.
Jupiter's, it looked really good. Hey, we're going to continue talking with Mr. Andrew Maxwell, Glenn Moore. Grania McGuire is going to be joining us in the studio very shortly indeed. Phil Jupiter sitting in for Keith Finnegan here on Galway Bay FM. My guest still with me in the studio, Mr. Andrew Maxwell. Say hello, Andrew.
Morning.
Glenn Wall, say hello. And joining the hexagonal table of doom here in the studio, Grania McGuire. How are you, lady?
I am doing well.
The very interesting thing we were talking about last night before you went on stage at the Spiegel tent is how, you know, as when you gig in London, you're able to go on stage and start with a... I'm Irish and kind of, you know, and go from that perspective of being an Irish woman in London, and that's your normal opener, and you were talking about how that wouldn't really fly in Ireland.
No, it's less of a novelty over here.
How does one redress that? You know, how do you think about kind of being in front of your people once more?
It's weird. I think it's because it's not like when I'm in London, I don't like doing the whole, well, in Ireland we do this, and blah, blah, blah. But it's generally like if you're in front of a crowd, if you don't address the fact that you're Irish, it's like they get really confused. Like, doesn't she realise she's Irish? She hasn't mentioned the fact that she's Irish. So you kind of just have to have like a little joke just at the top to establish, I am Irish, I'm aware that I'm Irish, it's going to be okay, and then sort of move on to more interesting stuff. But you almost just get into a habit of sort of saying that at the top of your set.
Here's the thing, is all four of us here, it's the craft we do. The opening, it was very interesting because backstage last night as well, Glenn, well, you were talking about the fact that you can't wander on stage and start with a 7-minute bit from the middle of your act and just kind of plough straight into, well, you know what, it's bang. You have to have a starting point.
You got to gain their trust.
That's it. Yeah. This is the thing. Whereas you, Maxwell, you went on last night and you abused them from the get go. You said something foul about the people who got away.
They didn't what they deserved. they knew what they were getting.
I've always found in Europe too, if I don't address the fact that I'm Canadian and go into my cleverer stuff, they think I'm American and they don't think I get my own jokes.
Yeah, he lucked out on that one again, but I don't think he understands this at all.
As if Americans are total morons, but of course they're not. It's the richest, most powerful empire in the history of humanity. There's lots of smart ones.
You've never driven down the back roads of America.
Not true.
This
is the people that got a passport.
Well, yeah, man. Like, I've traveled all over the world the last 5 years, and I've never seen poverty like the back roads of America. Like, just
defeated people. And like the difference is the poor people in India smile, like almost bigger smiles than the rich people. But yeah, that's not the case in America.
It's an extraordinary thing that I found with America when I sort of drove around it myself, particularly did the Route 66 drive, which ostensibly doesn't really exist anymore because it's been replaced by a bigger highway. And it just strikes me that what has caused the poverty in America, aside from, you know, is the disparate, you know, the divide between rich and poor, but is the unfettered kind of rampaging development of corporate America. It's just, there's no kind of, wait, well, if you do this, what will happen there? Basically, they moved a road, a massive road, a mile north of the old Route 66, which just destroyed hundreds of communities. And no, that appears not to have been factored in to the building of I-40, is it? The cross-state one?
Yeah, and now anything on Route 66 is just, you know, we're Route 66! Like, it's 1,000 Route 66 diners.
Yeah.
So there's not even anywhere, there's not even any reason to go to it other than, you know, like, I'd rather see, Grapes of Wrath diners or, you know, something like, you know, that was the heartland, that was the vein across America.
Yeah. That just killed it. That would be a grim chain of restaurants, wouldn't it? The Grapes of Wrath themed restaurants.
You know what? Anytime I see stuff like that, like Walking Dead or Grapes of Wrath, like just like society has crumbled, I always get hungry. Like I'm like, well, I gotta eat now. Yeah. I mean, there could be a zombie apocalypse, and then I'll think of the time I could have got a waffles. Bucket of chicken. I could just could have walked out and got a bucket of chicken. Better get a bucket of chicken right now.
Glenn, we were just chatting in the interval there, and this is something of an clunky segue, but I'm going to risk it anyway. An album, you're making an album, are you doing?
It's about to be released November 18th. It's called No Lands Man. It's my Edinburgh show from 3 years ago. But the interesting thing about that is that on November 2nd, Asif Manvi from The Daily Show.
Indeed, so, yeah.
He's releasing a book called No Lands Man, and I've contacted my agent going, you know, he's releasing a book the same title as my show, and his agent has come back and go, we need more information. And I'm like, well, I'm not Google.
Yeah.
Google it. Like, yeah. You know, that's 3 years ago.
Good grief.
I was always good-natured, go, you know, like, I know it's a mistake, but, you know, we could do some cross-promotion or anything, and just to have him come back, go, well, you know, can we prove this? It's not 1942. Yeah, I can prove it. You know, yeah. Like just type your show title into Google and see what comes up.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do about this now. Like I know that.
Let's fight him.
Yeah.
You don't know, but we do.
Yeah.
Let's take every stout man the west of the Shannon and we'll ride on horses to his house.
Yeah.
Not good horses, like ponies and that. You know, not quality horses, like, but we'll get there on horseback.
It's a typical Maxwell response to the situation.
Can you take horses on the ferry?
America. We get a ferry to New York.
I like the idea that there's a ferry.
Ferry. Here's the other thing. He's from Bradford, so he should know better. I could see if he was American, but he's not. He's from Bradford.
Is he really? How long has he been in the States then? When did he come?
I don't know. I was watching I was watching the promo for the book where he interviews John Oliver and tells him how English he is, and John's like, you're not English. John Oliver, who with Daniel Kitson came to see that show in 2012 and should have known better and should have told him, but... The timeline's all there, and he should know better than to tell his agent.
From Bradford. What are you going to do?
There
it's
we
a
go.
Mill town.
You see,
it's
now,
the night shift. You see?
Now what I've got. Now what I've got is I've got an upset guest.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I'm sure you've got an upset Galway right now. You've just heard this shocking news about...
I dare say that many of the people who go with it, they bump into you in the street and they, you know, they'll Glenn, come over here, and they'll whack it, you know, they'll take you for a pint, they'll give you some counsel.
So hard.
Yeah. Give you some sound advice.
The amount of tables that are turned over right now, all across the greater Galway.
They're upset, and rightly so.
Chessboards asunder.
Yeah. Nothing gets Galway people angrier than... intellectual copyright infringement.
I know.
So when they hear this,
and the people from the other Galway in Ireland,
it seems like a piffling thing, but it's not. It's basic manners and decorum.
Yeah,
you know, no, it's Google. And it's the easiest thing in the world. And, you know? and then like to be shown it and then go, wow, how am I expected to have access to this World Wide Web that could have told me in a second? I need him to prove more.
No. Yeah. Decorum. That's what I'm
poor
talking
form,
about.
Asif. And I know you're listening in your hut in Galway.
Fair play and decency. That's what I'm in favor of.
Yeah.
You know? If you're ripping or you rip off the title of another man's show, what else would you do?
It's a bit like, I was always a little puzzled by when Hollywood would like bring out a meteor film, there'd be another meteor film almost immediately. And they'd always start bickering over who was first. It was like Deep Impact and the other one.
Armageddon.
Two meteor films. There were two volcano films came out at the same time.
I distinctly remember there was two Robin Hood films.
Two Robin Hood films.
My personal favourite was when the man switched bodies with the boy. And that happened like 19 times.
Vice versa.
Nobody could get enough of it either. Like, yeah, well, I like Big, so I'll go see it again with different actors.
Freaky Tuesday.
I like Kirk Cameron and I like Dudley Moore, and I wish they were in Big. So I'll go see it.
Yeah, Freaky Friday.
That was the first one.
The original one, which was with a young Jodie Foster, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Soul Man. The extraordinary idea of a white guy in a black guy's skin.
To get into Harvard.
Strong.
Yeah, really, really nice message to all the black people across America. The only reason you're in there.
I would ask all of you to plug your forthcoming shows here at
Plug Asif Manvi's book.
Do not plug Asif's book unless you can get a reciprocal guarantee that he's plugging your album. Your shows, Max, I'm looking at you. His eyes are getting bigger and bigger because he knows I'm going to ask him times and dates.
Tonight.
You can't do it. You are on tonight, dear boy. You definitely are, because I can see your name here somewhere.
I will be in the Spiegel tent down the abandoned docks.
There you go, at 7 o'clock in the Spiegel tent. Mr. Glenmore, you're on in the Spiegel tent at 9:30.
And I'll be perusing Asif's book to find any funny stories I can tell from it.
There you go.
What if his book is all about being Canadian? I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't put anything past this guy.
Hey, Grunny, you've got any more shows coming?
So I'm doing a show tonight. Yep. Doors at 10:30, starts at 11 with Carl Spain at the Roisin Dove.
Marvellous stuff. So that's the late night carnival at the Roisin Dove, which very sadly clashes with me DJing. Myself and Googie are going to be doing the Magnificent Sevens. We're doing a DJ set between 11 and 2 in the morning, all on vinyl. So when you're done with your show, nip on downstairs.
I thought it was going to be samurai music.
Oh, you upset? It was
that's a 7-inch pun. No.
Just us playing 7-inch singles. It's going to be absolutely car crashy. Thank you all very much indeed for coming. And don't forget tonight, Arthur Smith sings Leonard Cohen. That's my hot ticket for tonight. Also, Dave Baddiel in Fame, Not the Musical. That's on as well. There's an embarrassment of riches and richness of embarrassments. That is the way that the Vodafone Comedy Carnival hallway always works. Arthur Smith sings Leonard Cohen at 9:30. You will see me around at that gig before I go off, and I'll be in a very, very good trace suit. I warn all of Galway now. I'm going to look quite the clown. It's going to be hideous beyond measure. Thanks very much indeed. Jason, the engineer, all of the camera people here, Tracy for sorting out, Kev Healy. Thanks to Keith Finnegan for lending me his show. And these are words that I like to say at the end of a broadcast. This is William Shatner.